The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And there is so much fun stuff to talk about. Where are we going to go to first? I suppose we should talk about the impeachment or lack of. I have been telling you guys for months, even years, if you count the impeachment talk going all the way back to 2016, maybe even earlier, I knew that there was nothing to worry about because there's nothing to impeach the man on. And so what happens? They come out, they trot a bunch of character witnesses out in front of everybody, and they're like, oh, he's a bad dude. He's bad. He did bad. And they're like, well, do you have proof that he did bad? And even Sondland says, well, that was just my opinion that he did a bad thing. He didn't, you know, no, I don't have any evidence that he did anything wrong. By the way, Sondland, they got rid of him. You know that, right? So they are draining the swamp. It's like whack-a-mole, right? As these people show themselves to be bad, boom, they get eliminated, which I think is fantastic. Sondland was the ambassador to Ukraine. So everybody thought that he was going to be a great witness for Trump because he was there and, you know, knew that Trump didn't say anything bad. So then Sondland goes up there and he says, yeah, I think Trump's a terrible guy. And they're like, what? And so then they ask him for specific evidence, and he had none. He said that he never said that he had evidence, and it was always his opinion that Trump did a bad thing. And he didn't have any proof that Trump did anything wrong, didn't have any evidence of the quid pro quo that they've been talking about. So I thought that was hilarious. But, of course, the news only plays the part where he says that Trump's a bad guy, right? They don't show the part where he says that he didn't have, that it was completely his opinion and he had always stated as such. And what's funny is that when they were trying this impeachment deal, when they were trying to push impeachment through, the Republicans weren't allowed to bring any of their own people on, and the Democrat, which was very unfair, of course. So the Democrats just trotted one person after another out there saying Trump's a bad guy. All right, so they pushed the impeachment through. Now he's being tried in the Senate. And, of course, in the Senate, the Republicans say, well, you didn't let us bring anyone on. You can't bring anybody on. And they didn't allow the Democrats to bring any witnesses up in the Senate trial, which, although it's fair, I do think that they should have brought witnesses on. And I think that they should have called Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and just got it all out in the open. But I understand the Republicans just wanted everything over with. So they said Trump is fine, except for moron Mitt Romney. What is this guy's deal? He's such a sore loser. You know, Trump in the beginning endorsed Romney for president. And then later on, they got into a tiff with each other. I can't remember what it was over. Maybe either Trump rescinded his endorsement, or maybe, I think this is what it was, Romney said some things about Trump when Trump was running. He was like, oh, he's not going to win. And then Trump came back and said Romney was always an idiot or something, and he couldn't even beat Obama. So then they got into a little war. And, you know, one thing that Trump keeps doing is he makes people mad at him, and he needs to watch that. Although, you know, for politicians, they should recognize by now that if you're nice to Trump, he treats you nicely. And if you're mean to him, he treats you very meanly. So I guess Romney comes out and he says that Trump was guilty of one charge. I can't remember which one it was, and I don't even feel like looking it up right now. And because of that, I've heard some the news reporting so on some of the stories, on some of the commentary, they're calling it bipartisan support. So one Republican, one that doesn't even like Trump, Mitt Romney, comes out and agrees with one single charge against him, and then they call that bipartisan support. Unbelievable. I mean, the way that they will twist a story in is ridiculous. but it's also very funny. And now there is even talk of if the Senate and House get a majority in the next elections, that they'll actually expunge the impeachment, which means that on paper, it never happened. So you have Pelosi out there and she keeps saying, oh, this is forever, but it might not be forever, at least technically, if they can get it expunged. So I think that that's pretty funny, too. You know, speaking of character witnesses, so they were trying to get John Bolton to get in front of everyone in the Senate trial and speak badly against Donald Trump. John Bolton, like, is just a huge warmonger. And I was so disappointed when he got put into Trump's cabinet. And now then Trump got rid of him. And so now he's written a book. And I think he's going on like a mini publicity tour, right? In a way, in that he's trying to drum up sales for his book. And the reason I say that I think it's more publicity rather than anything else is because Adam Schiff asked him to write a signed affidavit saying the things that he was going to go up and say at the Senate trial. And Bolton refused. And then he asked for something else, and Bolton refused that too. So it's funny, Bolton, under oath, would not write anything, even though it's in his book. So isn't that interesting? When he was being interviewed, the person who was doing the interview asked Adam Schiff, do you plan on subpoenaing John Bolton, since John Bolton does have information that you can use, right? And he said, well, we're not going to do that. Or I think he said, we haven't made up our minds at this time how we're going to go forward or something like that. But I believe he gave a hard no on subpoenaing John Bolton, because when I saw it, I was like, well, you know, if he was in one of Trump's people still, he would definitely have subpoenaed him. So anyway, I think that's hilarious, especially since Democrats start talking nicely about John Bolton, who they used to hate, you know, because he's so pro-war. But the Democrats don't care about that stuff anymore. The Democrats don't know what they want. I remember them criticizing Trump for leaving Syria. So the Democrats had a debate last night, of course. I mean, and I watched it, but, you know, it's barely worth even mentioning. I mean, I used to like to watch the infighting, but now even that's tepid. They're not even doing that anymore. There was a little controversy because Joe Biden turned around like he was going to sneeze, and now they're pretending like he didn't know where the moderator was. So they're really dumping on him. I think they're trying to get rid of him. The establishment has decided that Buttigieg is the person that they want now, because he'll do anything they ask. This guy is crazy. He acts like a typical politician. And we'll talk about that later. I want to get to the next thing on the agenda here, which is Nancy Pelosi ripping up those stupid papers, looking like a jackass. Let's, you know, even before she ripped those papers up, I knew she was going to do something funny, because she was messing around with these papers. First of all, they weren't normal sized, letter sized typewritten pages. These things were, they looked like postcards or something. Maybe they call that legal size, but they might have been even larger, because I could very easily see them from where she was sitting on the podium. And I never noticed those papers that they're playing around with back there. And I looked at those and I was like, those are some really large pieces of paper. I thought she had a sign and she was going to hold them up every time that she disagreed with something that he said. But she didn't. Lo and behold, those papers, which I'm sure were oversized, and like I said, I never noticed those papers, but I did this time around. You could see that she, there's a video showing her pre-ripping the cards ahead of time. And in fact, the first set of cards that she rips up, or papers, I guess they're calling them, you can see that they have a little pre-rip in them. So this was planned out, and I can tell by the pre-rip, everybody can tell by the pre-rip, I would hope, and by the size of the paper. When she did that, I knew that that's what she had planned. And I am firmly in the belief that she planned that from the start, because those papers were so damn visible. Now, here's the deal. CNN reports this story. And again, I just don't have time to put the audio up, but I promise you this is true. CNN is reporting the story, and they mention no less than 2-3 times, oh, that this wasn't planned, that she was just overcome with emotion and did this. And I'm like, first of all, why are they defending her at all by saying that it wasn't planned? I think they knew that that stunt looked bad, and so they were going to try to help her out. Then another thing they kept on doing, which was super annoying, it was Wolf Blitzer, and I believe Dana Bash was on there, and another person. Another thing that they kept doing, which was super annoying, was that anytime that they would say, report something that Trump said, then they would say, well, I know if Nancy Pelosi was here, she would say X, Y, Z. And they would refute Trump's statement by saying something that they believe Nancy Pelosi would have said. That's not news. That's speculation. That's commentary. And is so annoying because their name is a trusted name in news. You've got Wolf Blitzer up there, and he's making this commentary along with the other two, when it's clearly speculation, but the way that they're reporting it is as if they're reporting a story. These guys have got to get out of the news business and just say, look, we're not reporting the news. This is entertainment. That's all it is. It's just pure entertainment, and that's it. You know, CNN used to have shows like Crossfire and where it was like wrestling, but verbally. Those were fun, and you knew that the things that you heard on that were hyperbole. You knew that the commentators, that the guests that they had on the show and the commentators that they had when they were going at it with each other, you knew that they were just, you know, trying to make their side look good, and it was all puffery. They didn't report it like it was news. And it was I had a great time watching that show until moron Jon Stewart comes up there and wrecks it by saying, this isn't news. This is, you know, this is theater, right? And he made fun of Tucker Carlson for wearing his bow tie back then. And he stopped wearing it. I wouldn't have stopped wearing it. I would have been like, you know, I like it. I think it looks cool. I'm going to wear it. You know, I don't care if you think it's for show. But, you know, that stuff is clearly marked as entertainment. When you look up these clips on YouTube from the most trusted name in news, they ought to label it like this is pure opinion, this is pure speculation, and stop mixing the reporting along with their speculation of events. Another good example of this is the Iowa caucus. Oh, my goodness. All right, I'll get to that in a second. Let's wrap up the Pelosi thing here. So Nancy Pelosi rips up these papers like a child, and people are angry at her for it, which I can understand. It definitely was very disrespectful. But now the Republican, Getz, is that his name, wants to actually press charges against her for doing it because it's illegal to rip up official documents or government documents, something like that. I don't know. I think that that's going to be childish retaliation. Look, she did it on TV. She made herself look bad. There's, you know, Democrats that are coming out against her saying that you shouldn't have done that. That was, you know, beyond the pale. How are you going to criticize what Donald Trump does and then you do the same damn thing or even worse? You know, she rips up the papers when he's on his best behavior. He didn't say anything negative. Everything that he said was a positive for the country. You know, he had these people come up, and then she comes out saying things like, oh, everything he said was like his delusion. That wasn't State of the Union. That was state of his mind or something stupid like that. These catchphrases, man, they got to hire somebody to do this because they can't come up with any good ones themselves. Leave her alone. Don't waste everyone's time by trying to press charges against her. Come on, man. It just is going to make the Republicans look petty. All right, let's talk about the hilarious Iowa caucus. So first things first, all right. They botched it so badly. I'm watching, I believe it was CNN, and CNN comes on the air. Everything's showing up 0000. This was fairly late in the night, and I'm going, why are all these results still zero? And then they come out and they say, okay, we have some information as to why everything is going south. And they said that, according to who they've been speaking to, that there were, they had three systems in place. The primary system, the secondary system, and a tertiary system, and they all failed. Now, at this point, they weren't talking about apps or anything like that. This is the news. And I heard that, and I was thinking, okay, you got to be dumb to not think that something is going on. What's so funny about things is that anyone who speculates as to the possibility, unless they work for the news. Now, if you work for CNN, you can speculate all you want. And a lot of times that speculation becomes the news, which is so annoying and why they rightly should own that title of fake news. But when a human being, like somebody like I am here on the radio, or somebody on a podcast or something like that, comes out and they speculate and they say, you know, Bernie Sanders was going to win, and then all three systems fail. That's craziness. That's craziness. So something's going on. Now, let me give you an even more way out but truthful take on this story. Even more detail to add to this. This is hilarious. The Des Moines Register, which is this very famous paper in Iowa, and I know it's famous because I know their name. I hear about them every couple of years. I actually might not be pronouncing it right. I hope I am. But they, every 4 years, they come out with a poll. And if I remember correctly, this poll has 100% accuracy as to how the results have come out thus far. Of all the times, this poll, which showed Bernie Sanders to be the winner, they, what they call, spiked the poll. They didn't release the poll. Why? Here's why. And I saw this explanation from the mouth of Pete Buttigieg. So he's the one who said this on air. The reason that they spiked the story is because one of Pete Buttigieg's supporters called them and told them that on his copy of the poll, Pete Buttigieg's name, the poll was partially cut off. And so their explanation as to why they spiked the poll is because they didn't know if that was just on his copy or if that was on everyone's copy. And so rather than risking that it was just on one person's copy, they just didn't do the poll. They just did not release the poll at all. Wow. So one of Pete Buttigieg's supporters gets them to spike the poll. All right. So that's in itself highly, highly coincidental. All right. So Bernie Sanders is going to win. It's going to show up on the poll. They spike the poll. All right. Now, this poll has always shown that the winner is the actual winner of the caucus. The winner of the poll was Bernie Sanders. So now the caucus takes place. Bernie Sanders, if you go by history, is probably going to be the winner. What happens? The primary system fails. The secondary system fails. The tertiary system fails. What are the chances of this? Okay. It gets even more coincidental. Guys, this is all stuff that is proven. I know it sounds like conspiracy, and I'm sure that if you went up and you said all these facts one after another, you would be called a conspiracy theorist. But everything that I'm saying right now, you can go on the damn computer, you can go on the internet, and you can see it for yourself. It's all true. I have no reason to just talk out of my ass about this stuff. These are things that are real and are happening right now. The reason given now for the failure of the Iowa caucus is an app. The app is made by a company called Shadow Inc. Shadow Incorporated. First of all, doesn't that sound like a damn cartoon? Shadow. Why would you name your software company Shadow like you're an evil corporation? Okay. Now, speaking of, investors in this corporation are the usual suspects, the Clintons, and many of their DNC supporters. Joe Biden has given money to Shadow. Pete Buttigieg donated, it's either $40,000 or $40,000 twice to this company. I mean, you can't make this stuff up because it sounds so way out, but this stuff is the truth. And then this company blows it, all right? So the app doesn't work. The chaos that ensued was hilarious. So they take the numbers, and okay, the Shadow Inc. puts out a statement. It's on their Twitter. I think their Twitter is Shadow Inc., right? Just type in and you'll find them. They put out a statement and says, yes, our app screwed up, but the important thing is that all the numbers are still there and correct. So the numbers are in there. So you can, you know, so the election wasn't tampered with because all the numbers are in there correctly. All right. So they post the numbers, not Shadow, but the people running the caucus post the numbers. What's this guy's name? Tom something or other. I'm almost out of time. He posts the numbers on Twitter. The head of the counties that tallied the votes say what you're posting doesn't match. So this guy calls for a re-canvassing of the vote. And by the way, guess who wants to run it? The DNC. I mean, come on, man. Can you not smell a rat? Are you got to be dense to not realize that this is what in wrestling they call a work. This is fixed. This is rigged. But it's done in a way that they're not really doing it, right? This is all plausible deniability. So they're saying, don't say that it's rigged. CNN is saying, oh my goodness, CNN asked this voter, don't you think that the word rigged is being thrown around in a way that casts doubt upon our democratic process? You know, last week I said the press has so much influence that statement that it's not who votes, but who counts the votes that matters. And I said, I don't know. The press has so much influence that the press might actually have more influence. I take that back. The people who count the vote have the most influence. This is ridiculousness. Okay, so there's even a little bit more. The news organizations, when they report the results, stop the counting at, I think it was like 64%. And what do they say? Buttigieg is in the lead. Now, I don't know how these people were able to work it so that they only counted the 64% that had Buttigieg still leading. But when the vote was finished, Bernie Sanders came out ahead by 6,000 votes. So by the Democrats' own style, Bernie Sanders won the popular vote. And yet, the last thing I saw was that you were each getting 11 delegates. I heard somewhere that Bernie Sanders somehow was actually getting less delegates. Maybe they're counting the superdelegates. I don't know. But the point is that Bernie Sanders is getting screwed six ways to Sunday. They're making the same mistakes over and over and over again. By the way, Pete Buttigieg takes a victory lap, I think for three solid days. He came out saying that he won. The first day he comes out saying that he won. There's video of him walking out of a building. Reporter sticks a mic in his face and says, are you worried that you're announcing your victory prematurely? He smiles, walks to his car past all the reporters, doesn't even say anything. He's just got this weird doll-like grin on his face. This guy is trouble. Now, as usual, this stuff is going to backfire on the DNC. People are pissed off, and they are not going to vote. They're not going to vote, and Trump's going to get in. Hey, what do I care, right? I want Bernie Sanders to lose. I want Trump to win. But man, it sucks that it's got to happen this way. And it sucks that so many people who are wanting to be a part of the voting process are now going to get disillusioned. And this is why so much of the country just doesn't vote. And I can't blame them. I blame the press. I blame these crummy journalists for the way that they report the stories and manipulate